This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
And welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you. Don't forget, Memphis Grizzlies basketball coming your way tonight, 6:30 as far as the pregame is concerned. And a tip just after 7 as Memphis on the road taking on the Timberwolves. Right now, a chance to talk some college football. Doug Segrist, formerly with the Nashville Banner. Now he's a co-host on the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340, as well as a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser. Doug, welcome back to the show. Always fun to have you on.
Good to be here, Ballpark.
Hey, by the way, before we get into what happened Monday night, I've been getting a lot of text messages and folks from the media members from the state of Alabama who obviously followed Jeremy Pruitt when he was with the Alabama staff. How is that playing out from your perspective as far as all the smoke that's coming out of Knoxville with his football program?
That he's in a lot of trouble. You know, the fan base kind of thinks this is a power play. I think most of the media don't see it as that this is a investigation that they've got to look into. And right now there's not a whole lot you can do until it's kind of cleared up. I thought that Kevin Steele was a great hire if Jeremy Pruitt made it. Again, he's a guy who brings stability. If he didn't make it, then you can start the conspiracy theories.
Right.
But everybody agrees that he's on thin ice, and really kind of surprised that he made it this far, just the way they tanked this season.
Well, and here's the other part about it, is if we talked about a record of being 28-7, would we still be having this conversation?
No, not at all.
Would the program still be investigative internally, what is going on right now, too, if they were 28-7?
I don't think that's a nefarious scheme. I don't think you throw your program under the bus just to get out of paying somebody. So I think these are legitimate concerns, and you know, the word on the street is there are a couple of SEC programs that got involved with the same prospect, and that's the reason for the investigation. Just make sure everything is in the clear. I just don't believe that you throw your entire program, you know, on the tracks just because you want to save a little money.
But here's the newsflash there. You know, the bottom line is, I don't care if you're a football coach, basketball coach, sports information director, if you work at a place long enough, and it doesn't have to be a decade or more. I mean, if you're there for 3 years or so, you learn about a lot of ghosts, a lot of skeletons in those closets. And so to me, the only thing, if you're talking about getting maybe a reduced amount, they will pay Jeremy Pruitt something. It's not going to be, yeah, he may be let go, he may be fired, all that, he may resign. He will be getting paid. The question will be, to what point? I mean, the full amount as far as what he signed with this extension back earlier in the part of the 2020 season? Probably not. But, you know, the whole thing about we're looking for evidence so we don't have to pay somebody, I can't think of one guy that didn't get paid even when they deserved not to be paid.
Well, and I don't think Phil Fulmer would go for this. I mean, this puts his reputation at risk as well. And I don't think he would go for this unless this was a legitimate concern. And again, I think it's been a long time since Tennessee was in any trouble with NCAA. And when you're in a program like that, you tend to be very proactive and just make sure you've got everything covered. And that tends to be how I perceive them approaching it. There's a little smoke there. Let's just make sure we're in the clear. And if we're not, then we decide what to do.
I go back when Bear Bryant was head coach. In 25 years, he wins 3 national championships, more with a pro-style offense. At the latter part of the 60s, you know, there were some fans saying the game had passed him by. Here he is in his late 50s, and they're saying the game has passed you by. And one of the reasons why he almost took the Miami Dolphins job instead of Mike Shula, it was his job to take if he wanted it. Instead, he adapted, launched the wishbone offense with 3 weeks before the 71 season. Rest is history as Alabama enjoyed the best decade in all of college football, adding 3 more national titles. You know, we always hear that thing about we'll never see this again. I go back to a Florida State run, 14 straight years of top 5 finishes, was told we'd never see that again. If you'd had Florida State then with the playoff system now where the best four teams are playing for a national championship, you could probably add another three or four national titles to Bobby Bowden's name with FSU. So I'm not going to be that person that says we'll never see what Bama has done, six national titles in the last 12 years, because I've seen runs like this in college football history before, so I'm not going to be that naive to think it can't be done again.
Yeah, I think it's very unlikely, though, just because of the parity. And we say parity, and everybody's already tired of the playoffs because it seems to be the same usual suspects. It's either going to be Alabama and Clemson, maybe an LSU, maybe Ohio State, maybe Notre Dame, and maybe Georgia. And you know, there seems to be frustration that at least the big three keep showing up. So I don't think we're going to see anything like this unless there are changes. So what kind of changes could you see? Well, could we reduce the number of scholarships to kind of spread the wealth again?
When you say reduce the number of scholarships, reduce them for everybody or just Alabama?
Reduce them, say go from 85 to 75. Say it's a cost-cutting measure after the pandemic, but it's also an equalization. So, you know, more of the top players go out. Would that even work? I don't know if it would, but that's one of the suggestions that's been proposed. Again, opening up the playoff to more teams, making a more national thing. But, you know, you just mentioned what Bear Bryant did to reinvent his career. Well, Nick Saban did it after the Kick Six. And now, is this the way you want college football to be? Well, this is the way it's going to be. And he does it better than anybody else with just a great offense. I thought LSU's offense last year was the greatest of all time, and I think this one was better.
And how strange is that, too, because 150 years we waited for an offense like that, which LSU brought to the table, and we had to wait just one more year. Remember the conversation, LSU, you can certainly say best college team ever, and you know, and have a reason to say that. And now, 12 months later, you can say, well, this Alabama team may be the best team ever. And the fact that it happened in year 151, even more amazing with regards to the fact that we didn't see a lot of time in between.
No, I mean, just in a blink of an eye. And I think when you add everything that else went on with the pandemic, the 10-game SEC schedule, the 13-game Power 5 schedule, this is what really makes this year just so remarkable for this Alabama football team. And again, I hesitate saying it's the greatest team ever because the defense was not
top 15 defense,
but,
though.
Yeah, but that's what you get to. When you look, well, they held 11 of 13 opponents to well below their scoring average, including in the two playoff games, a combined 45 points below their average.
And you go back to that Bama, certainly because of all the players have gone to the NFL, they, you know, I think one of the biggest issues that they suffered early on was the fact that it hurt them just like it hurt other teams with, talented players but not experienced players, and they had to learn how to play together. And we saw that starting with the second half against Georgia, because after that we're talking about a team that was allowing less than 10 points a game.
Yeah, just they had one hiccup against Florida, and otherwise they were fairly dominant. I mean, they just held Ohio State to 24 points, which is a very – we saw what they could do against Clemson. They held Notre Dame totally in check, a third of what their scoring average is. And for all the people who get tired of hearing about Alabama, guess what? Alabama next year returns in terms of starts, snaps, letters – it will return its most experienced defense of the Nick Saban era.
Now, with that said, obviously there's some players going to have to step up on offense, and I was talking about this earlier this week. Yesterday I was bringing this up, the fact that there are teams like Georgia. You know, there's teams that have a head start of being better than Alabama right now as far as 2021. The thing is, are they willing to put in the work in the offseason, in the weight room, doing all the things that they have to do to be better than Alabama at the end of 2021? And you know, obviously time will decide that. Right now, they've got a head start. There's probably a couple of teams, three teams, that maybe have a head start on where Alabama is right now, just based on where they stand with experience and all that. But that doesn't mean that that's the way the season plays out at this point.
And I think when all is said and done, they're going to look back at this Alabama senior class. You know, they came in together 2017. You've got a receiver and a running back who, by all intents and purposes, should have been up for NFL Rookie of the Year this year. And they opted to come back, and they created a bond among their teammates. You can mention the left tackle as well. And they created a bond. They outworked everybody. They handled the COVID issues about as well as anyone. And, you know, you just don't find leadership like this. I mean, it is so rare in this day and age. You're talking about guys with little to no ego that were willing to share the limelight, were willing to share the workload. And it's almost like out of a 1950s Chip Hilton book.
Very good points.
You remember
finally,
Chip Hilton?
Oh, yeah. I see where you're going there.
That's a great book.
I think the best part about this year, and I said this as well yesterday, the fact that in an imperfect season, you know, with all the cancellations week in and week out, the moving target with regards to COVID-19. So in the most imperfect year, except maybe you go back during World War II era, the fact that we had a perfect team at the end of the year.
Yeah, and I, you know, there could have been an asterisk. I certainly think if Ohio State had gone 8-0, some people would have, you know, given them an asterisk because, you know, they played only 2/3 as many games. But to do this against an all-SEC schedule is just really remarkable. And I think we, you know, a lot of people say, well, the SEC is really down this year. I mean, what are you really proving? I think we saw in the bowl games, the SEC was still the best conference by a wide margin.
Right. I mean, because people want to knock about Florida, and I go, well, you take away your four best weapons, including a first-round pick as tight end who would be a problem for any team that they face, and see how successful your quarterback is going to be.
Well, and more telling than me, you had three teams with losing records that beat top 25 teams.
Yeah, good point. Very good point.
That's never happened in a bowl game because we usually don't let teams losing records in bowls. But
unless they do well academically, and then they're the 5-7 teams that find themselves in there.
Right,
hey, we're up against
the
break. Always a pleasure having you on, Doug. You have a wonderful rest of the week. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thank you, Ball Park. You be safe.